Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, y'all niggas gonna let me do what I do. Let me do what I do, nigga. Don't grab me.
Shot-town, I hope y'all ready.
Grab them niggas.
NYC.
Been playing with them niggas.
LAP.
We got the most money in here.
Let's do it.
I need commas after my commas. Commas after my commas.
Woo.
I need commas after my commas.
Uh-huh.
Commas after my commas.
Yeah.
We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga.
Yeah.
We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands.
Uh-huh.
I got commas after my commas.
Money.
Commas after my commas.
Money.
I got commas after my commas.
Money.
Commas after my commas.
Uh-huh.
We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands.
I got Polo on my body, but I'm talking Ferrari. White girl in the party, Mary Jane, won't you be Molly? Couldn't feel no better, couldn't style on my sweater. Niggas say they cold, just a little bit under the weather. I mean, do the shit, got leathers, what? Get your shit together, gave you niggas some time. Now I got a vendetta, damn niggas is basic. But the champagne imported, threesomes get arranged, and then they get recorded. See them diamonds, they dance, nigga. Fucking up your plans, nigga. Feel like David Russell, cause we ain't talking no bands, nigga.
I need commas after my commas. Commas after my commas. I need commas after my commas. Commas after my commas. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands. I got commas after my commas.
Money.
Commas after my commas.
Money.
I got commas after my commas.
Money.
Commas after my commas. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands.
Pussy niggas, I hope you losing sleep. That old money still new to me. I take a shower with a sexy bra.
Blog Talk Radio.
One Time Home Repairs, where we are rehabilitating America's one home at a time, specializing in remodeling, full kitchens, and bathrooms. Also, a 24-hour emergency handyman service for electrical and plumbing issues. No job is too small. We do it all. All it takes is one call. It's 773-698-5720. Ask for LB.
What's up? This your boy, Dennis Live. I got a question for you people. Are you tired of paying all that money on the monthly bills? Well, check it out. Look no further. Log on to westernworld1.com. That's www.westernworld1.com. And click on the Save Money program. We have a lot of products that you can save on, like gas bills, light bills, cell phone bills, security alarm systems, name brand satellite services. Then you got your global phones. I mean, we just got the whole deal, people, that you can just really save on. Log on, westernworld1.com. Or you can go to the Google Play Store and key search Western World 1. Space it out, Western, space, world, space, 1. And download the app. It's a free mobile app. Or you can go back to the website and get that, too. It's free. All this stuff I'm giving you guys are free. There's nothing to go look it up. www.westernworld1.com. Click on Save Money Program and check out the products. I promise you, you will be amazed by some of the services that we do provide, that we are affiliated with. Other than that, that's what I'm here to do.
Let
you out.
Go.
Let you out.
Go.
Hey, you, yeah, you. Are you bored? Are you just lonely? Are you just surfing the web or just on your Android phone, not doing nothing? Well, check it out. Look no further. Log on to www.westernworld1.com. That's westernworld1.com. And check out some of the hottest unsigned artists from all over the world. Again, that's www.westernworld1.com. WesternWorld1.com. That's WesternWorldOne.com. Check them out. Log on. Let's go. Look and see what it is. You're not doing nothing. Get online. Look at that again. WesternWorldOne.com. Let's go. We out.
Let's go.
Peace.
Peace.
Let's go.
Peace.
Come on, people, we back in the building. Man.
Okay, let me check my check. Make sure the mic is all good. Okay, man, today's topic, man. We're going to be talking about, let's see here, man. Today's show, man, we're going to be talking about the 13th Amendment and what side effects has it damaged to the 13% of our African-American incarcerated people. Let me redo that. Today's show, we will be talking about the 13th Amendment and what side effects has it damaged to our 13% of the African-American population incarcerated people. It made sense. I wear it, man, without further ado, man. Man, y'all people, y'all know who this person is, man. I'm going to let y'all go ahead and listen to his voice and let him introduce himself. All right, man, but here's Charles Baxter, man.
Hey. Man, how's everybody going? Beautiful Sunday. How are you doing on this beautiful Sunday, brother? Hello?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing on this beautiful Sunday?
I'm excellent, bro. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I can't complain. You know, willing to go out here and enlighten the people, whether they want to hear it or not. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the truth. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the truth. Name of the show. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the truth.
That's what you all mean.
That's what I'm on. Don't get mad at me. Don't take your frustrations out on me.
All right. Well, let me ask you a couple questions. Huh?
Okay.
Okay. Instead of going with the, you know, we're just going with LB. You know, same though LB is like your, you know, so that's your stage name, that's your comedian name, that's your, you know, controversial name, and that's the name that you use on my show. What made you decide to do Charles Baxter?
To separate the comical side from the actual serious side. To let you understand that you are getting, when you're dealing with LB or Charles Baxter, you're getting a man who has many sides. And one of the sides that I want the people to understand and see is not just the comical side that looks at things in a third eye sense, but the man who has both his feet planted firmly on the ground and looking out, not trying to judge, but trying to understand, as well as teach understanding. So as I'm understanding, I'm teaching understanding. So that's what Charles Baxter brings to the table. I hate to say this, I talked to a fellow friend of mine who's a friend of yours, Gerard, and as I was talking to him, he gave me a sense of understanding when he talked to me. Which now I can take that understanding and give it to the masses, because he looked at it and don't look at it like this, look at it like that. And when he gave me that revelation, I couldn't do nothing but embrace it. I didn't look at it as a negative. I looked at what Brother Gerard told me as a positive. As something that, okay, yeah, you're right. Don't look at your friendship and then go behind your friend and gossip behind him, because he's not perfect. But you're not perfect either. There's certain things, characteristics, and things that somebody could say about you as well, which gave me a third eye to say, hey, you know what, you're very much so right. I couldn't get mad at that man for what that man told me. I can only get mad at that truth. So Charles Baxter brings to the table a truth. Not a sense of truth, the truth.
Gotcha.
I'm not trying to bring to the table my opinion, but I'm trying to bring knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to the table. That's it.
Okay.
That's all Charles Baxter is trying to be.
So Charles Baxter is basically the truth. You know what I'm saying? Not saying
the
that
truth.
LB is a liar, but you know what I'm saying? You the comical truth when it's LB. But Charles Baxter is bringing the real live. This is me, raw and uncut. This is who I am. Here you have it.
Correct.
Gotcha. All right, man. Without further ado, man, we're going to kick this show off, man. The 13th Amendment, bro.
What does it say? In black and white, what does it say?
In black and white, better yet, I'm going to let them tell you what it says. I got it from where what it tells you, what it means, and also to who are the people that make this effective, and also to give you the limitations of it, which is the Congressman, the House of Representatives, the legislation. And with this bill here, man, this amendment here, it was like from, I think it was like years and years ago, man, they still going by this rule. And it was supposed to really consequence the, I don't even know what consequence meant. Let me take that back. It was really supposed to enforce to say the abolishment of black slavery to protect us. But in actuality, they put some clause in there saying that, yeah, we'll protect you, but only for if you do certain things, like if you go to jail, if you get incarcerated, they strip all your rights from you. So I'm going to play this clip, man, and then I'm going to play the limitations, all right? And then we're going to dissect all of it, and we're going to go into our thing.
Okay.
Now let's go.
Section 1. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Section 2. Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation.
The assumption of African Americans who saw this amendment was that this was the amendment that gave them equality, a road to citizenship, a road to equal suffrage, a road basically to a country where there would be no distinctions by color. Now, that said, because of the wording of the amendment, it did have limits. It was declarative only, didn't really give any rights because it doesn't give any explicit rights. So it leaves as an open question what rights are attached to freedom. Also, one other example of a limitation is it possesses a clause that says there is an exception to this. To this business of slavery not existing anymore. And the exception is, but for crimes whereby those who have been accused have been convicted. So that if you've been accused of a crime and convicted, you could have your freedom abridged or taken away. You could be treated as an involuntary servant. And that's what ends up happening in the late 1800s and early 1900s, well into the 20th century. Criminals are sometimes imprisoned. Their labor is treated as slave labor. They are leased out, sometimes in large groups, to private contractors or farms. They are even sometimes put in chains. And for the most part, these prisoners I'm talking about are African American. The most common crime would be non-payment of debts. And of course, many of these former slaves are in debt. And if they can't pay the debt, then they become criminals. Then they find themselves in chains in these places, and it looks an awful lot like slavery. And so you can understand the confusion and ultimately the great resentment that the very measure which a generation of African Americans assumed was their ticket to absolute equality and the end of these sorts of things could also be used to preserve a kind of slavery in this country.
Wow. You there?
Yes. Powerful. I wouldn't say a kind of slavery. It's either slavery or not. This, and I've said this before, and I say this again. The very thing that made America, America, was through slavery. Slavery is nothing but a form of labor, free labor. And that is what built America, was slavery. And please understand, there wasn't any other nationality that could kin American. They tried the Chinese. They even tried their own kind, the whites. You have to understand the principle of why the white man even came over here and sought this land. The white man had been coming back and forth several times. The myth, the mere myth of Christopher Columbus finding America is a myth. He did not find it. He was lost in search for other lands. Stumbled upon America, but you could not find anything that someone has already been living on. The thing of it is if you found something, even to this day, if I drop a dollar bill on the ground and someone comes along and picks it up, does it necessarily make it theirs? If I happen to see that dollar bill land on the ground, and he picks it up, hold on, that's my dollar bill. That man in all rights has to put that dollar bill back down on that ground or hand it over. Unfortunately, that did not happen here in America. They were gangsters running from other gangsters. Came over here, which the Native Americans was already on here, over here. So what better way to make Native Americans seem like they are less than human? We will call them savages. Well, these same savages taught them how to hunt for food over here and to survive in a winter that they were unfamiliar to. So now that they're unfamiliar to these lands and they teach them how to survive, now they turn on. But how do we build America up? How do we get it to the where it needs to be? Slavery. Slavery in our times now is no different from slavery then.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that. The reason why I'm glad you said that is because now, even though when it was back then, it was still a business, and right now it's still a business. Just like how you broke it down. You said that, okay, if it's mine's, and that dollar's on the ground is mine, so you have every right to, you know, talk about that dollar and do what that is. But now they got it to where, okay, how can you prove that's your dollar? It's the serial number, ain't on it, your name ain't on it. How can you do this? You see what I'm saying? So they automatically, that's controversy right there, automatically just created, because if a civilized person is like, hey, man, you dropped your dollar. Or, hey, man, yeah, I did see you drop that dollar, man, but I really need it. Can I have it? You had options to say yes or no. So these are the things, man, that we have judged in our heads. And where I'm going with this is that with the 13th Amendment, it gives you a certain clause or a certain gratification. See, where people didn't understand, yeah, it's supposed to abolish the slavery, but at the same time, they put the clause in there. It said neither slavery nor involuntary sovereignty except as punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duty of convicted. Meaning that if you go to jail and you get convicted of something, you are a slave. Now, where it really affected the black people is because that 13th Amendment started going into the fact of drug dealers, murderers, killers, rapists. But the main thing, you know, and I'm just saying going in depth, and that's in the crime. You do the crime, you do the time. You know what I'm saying? You did it on that day, you should pay. I understand all that. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. But we're going to go with something drug dealers, right? We're going to go with something else. And what I want to do is I want to kind of go into the 13th Amendment of how it's really affecting African-American people, okay? And the way that I want to break it down is, matter of fact, before we break that down, did you have something else you want to say about the 13th Amendment? Charles?
I want to say that everything that you're saying is thus far on point. So I just want you to keep going with where you're going with this so I can, you know, I'll fill in on
it. Gotcha. Okay, now where I'm going with this is we're going to do the drug dealers, all right, because that's the number one thing. The war on drugs, crack is on drugs, the epidemic is this. Don't you know, when the legislators, not the legislators, when congressmen or people of election, when they're trying to be elected in electoral to be voted, to be the president, to be whatever it is, they got to say these words. They say these words, man, America's war on drugs, or we got to fight these drugs and crack these drug dealers down and do whatever it is. Once you say them words, you automatically win. Because what is the epidemic in your neighborhood? If you're in the city of Chicago, South Side, West Side, what is it? What's the plague? Drugs, right? Wars, right? Crime, right? Okay, so if you get elected, if you elect me, I'm definitely going to try to enforce, here we go, here's the terminology. I'm going to enforce stronger laws. Get it? I'm going to enforce stronger laws to stop these drug dealers in your neighborhood, to stop these drug dealers in our neighborhood, to stop these. Now, what made me think about this was because I was watching this documentary, man, about a guy that made the Wire, the HBO, The Wire,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's called, I believe it's called My Neighbor Next Door or The Neighbor in My House or something like that, but I get it for you guys. What I'm trying to break down is, they actually turned that 13th Amendment to a business. Now, we got this average drug dealer, right? Okay. He goes in. He does his time. He's a slave now, right? Okay. Let's say he does his time, right? Now, he gets out. He might get on parole. If you're parole or parolee or probation, whatever, you're still a slave. You're a CO, confidential informant, you're still a slave. Now, let's say you did all that. You did your time, you ain't on parole no more, you feel like you're free. But you know what? By you having a record, a criminal record, you are still a slave to the state when they're supposed to abolish that. They're supposed to, what we call that? Expunge, right?
Expunge.
Right, that's what it is, right? You're supposed to expunge the records to where they can't use it no more and they can't use it against you. Now we got the drug dealer, and we say African American are made up 13% of the world, right? The other 89% is Caucasians and brown people, meaning that Hispanics, Indians, Natives, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But we make up 13% of the population. Why is it that 90% of 13% is incarcerated? Because drugs, right? And drugs is like the number one thing that I want to say right now. Drugs, domestics, whatever, are the number one, two things. But we're going to stick with drugs. Now, I'm out here, I'm selling drugs. Yeah, okay, I do my time. Now I'm up under the 13th Amendment Act. Now when I did all my debt, everything, I paid my debt back to society, my stuff over the expunged, why is it that now when I go fill out an application to go to work, now I don't give my time under the 13th Amendment Act in this institution, which we call another job, because they say you got to work for servitude or something like that again. If you can't pay for it, you got to work as that, and you work as your payment back, paying your debt back to society for your wrongful doing. Now, I try to go for that application. I just say a little rinky-dink place. You know what I'm saying? A small fast food joint. I don't want to say no names. A small fast food joint. And I go for that application. They're going to ask me, have I ever been convicted of any felony? Yes or no? I got to put yes. I got to put yes on that. Because if I'm lying, I'm still going to, you know, I'm not going to get the job. If I tell the truth, I'm still not going to get the job. But since I'm under the 13th Amendment Act, I'm not on parole or probation no more, that stuff should be expunged. So I should be able to say other. It should be yes, no, I don't want to talk about it. If it say, if so, please explain. You see what I'm saying? So now if you put on there, my debt, I pay my debt back to society, my debt has been expunged. You explaining what's going on. You paid it back. And what's going on, but the thing is this, you in a catch-22, because when you get out, most jail places are considered what? They call it low maximum security. It's called a rehabilitation center, a correctional center, right? So correctional means they're trying to correct the problem that you had did, right, if I'm not mistaken?
Correct.
So my point in saying this is, if I'm coming out of jail, let's say I don't sell drugs no more, I don't do none of it, and I'm just going with the drug dealers, I don't sell drugs no more, how can I get a job? So now it's going to affect the 13% of the population. Now you got to look at the legislation, the House of Representatives, the congressmen. These are the people that makes the rules. The president has 10 days to pass a bill on some of these high crime punishments. And you need to look that up too. See, how many bills did the president of the United States actually sign off on these type of bills? They even got something called the sentencing. Are you sentencing people? It's called the Sentencing Project, to where this is what they do. They come up, all these people come together, two parties come together and find out what kind of law should be punishment. Now, I'm going to break it down like this. Cocaine, right? Cocaine, and we got, what's the other one? Crack, right?
Heroin, crack.
We're going to go with crack. We're going to stick with crack, and we're going to break it down easy for them, right? We're going to say crack cocaine. We're going to say cocaine and crack, right? Crack is cocaine, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You got regular cocaine. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Another form of cocaine is crack, the cheaper form of it.
Now watch this. Now this came from an official judge, man, a federal state judge. All right, now, he said the crack comes from cocaine. Crack holds more value of your incarceration than it does with pure cocaine. Regular crack, if you have 5 grams of crack cocaine, you're doing at least 5 years. They give you a year per gram, I believe it is. You're doing at least 5 year sentencing per every 5 grams. Now, on cocaine, if you just get regular pure cocaine, all you're doing is probably, you might get a slap on the wrist, you might get probation, you might get supervision, you might go to jail for 5 months, and you might even get a year. But you're not doing nowhere near as much as you're doing crack cocaine. You know the difference between regular cocaine and crack cocaine? One is in the high collar, which is kind of changed a little bit. One, cocaine is in the high collar, you know, it's in the blue collar, the corporate America, you know, the Caucasians, the people that works, and you sniff a line, it's supposed to be a party fun tool. Crack cocaine is in housing, projects, south side of Chicago, west side of Chicago, now they're starting to go north side of Chicago, in the black rural areas. The only difference between cocaine and crack is that crack has baking soda, water and heat to produce crack cocaine. That's what you put inside of a cake to bake a cake. Why is it the amount you're being charged 500 times the crime rate than it is with just having the possession of just raw, pure cocaine? You know what the difference is? Because Caucasians mainly use that one, and the black people mainly use that one. But I'm going to kill you. If we only made 13% of the population, then who used crack cocaine more than black people?
Yep. I say this to you, and it's a revolving door. You said a whole lot. I'm going to say this to you. Slavery is what built this country. Slavery is what is going to sustain this country. Even though a lot of our jobs are outsourced to other countries, slavery is what's going to sustain this country. Because sometimes you have to go back to the roots of things, of what made you who you are. Slavery is what made America who it is. Now, during the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, incarceration was not that high, especially amongst our people. Not saying we weren't being locked up, but the playing field was more level, because you have to still understand, we were still looked at as three-fifths of a man. We were not even looked at as a whole man. So until the Civil Rights Act of 1965, it was signed in 64. Until it kicked in 65, we were still looked at as three-fifths of a man. So as we started to form more organizations after 65 and understanding that we understood economic strength, we understood political power, our power base started to grow. The United States government decided to annihilate that. Within the drug trade that we have, that was a form of being able to bring back economic strength. Because like any other nationality that is here in the United States was able to take a negative and turn it into a positive. The Irish did it. The Italians did it. The Jews did it. They were also gangsters. All of these nationalities, the Greeks did it, took a negative and turned it into a positive, but they were not incarcerated in the numbers that we are incarcerated now as a culture.
Yeah, they said we 90%.
Rehabilitation is a fancy word that is used to make the people who are voting feel like it's okay. Instead of calling it a janitor, we're going to call you a custodian. Instead of calling you a secretary, we're going to call you an administrative assistant. Instead of saying that you're guilty and that you have to prove yourself innocent, we're going to flip it and say you're innocent until proven guilty. As Malcolm X once said, you have to read between the lines. What are they really saying? Are you really being rehabilitated? No. Because if I was really being rehabilitated, then when I go into these correctional facilities, you would have job opportunities waiting on me when I get out, as if I went to college. The GED program now, you have to pay for if you are incarcerated now. That is not anything that's just given.
you have to pay for a GED, especially if you are in there for murder. You have to pay for your GED. It's not anything that you can just automatically go and start taking courses up. We as a nation, men, have to understand that there have been many slaves that have bought their freedom. You have to learn how to buy your freedom now. You have to educate yourself. You have to say, hey, do I want to put myself in that position? Because don't mistake it one bit, you are a slave. And not only are you a slave, you got to consider what level of slaveship are you on. Everybody's a slave to something. Some to just everyday bills. Some to their wives. Some to their kids. Some to public aid. And when I say public aid, I mean child support. Let's be clear about this. So, but how much of a slave do you want to be? So, at the end of the day, understand, we are still slaves here in America. You are still looked at as three-fifths of a man. You're not looked at as a whole man.
That's crazy, too, man. And if you still make up 13%, man, what's really weird about it is that, you know, part of a man, you make up 13% of the population, but then when you, now watch how this pull away from 13% of the population. When you are a slave to that state, that means that if you get a transfer, you get sent upstate, you are considered part of their population now, because you have their address, you have their mailing address. When you mail, your mail goes to them. Now your name is taken off of whatever you was at in your area, meaning the city, you know, city of South Side of Chicago. You're not there no more, and you go to let's just use Stateville. You go to Stateville. And you in Stateville, now whatever that population is in Stateville, you are considered that one part of that population. Now, as an African-American whole, yeah, you still make up for the 13%, but that 13% is really a non-voided to you, because you can't do nothing but make up as what you are, African-American.
Isn't that like back in the days when slaves were traded, bought and sold? Isn't it similar like it? You was over here on this plantation. Such and such wants you over here, so you were shipped off to a whole another plantation, separated from your family. But let's be clear about this, though, people. And I don't think we really understand the dynamics of incarceration and how much of a business it is. Because the penal system is on the stock market. How can a system guarantee a privatized penal system to 90% incarceration? Tupac said it the best, America eats its own babies. They prey upon their own people. No other country has the highest number of incarceration than the United States. The rich are making money off their own people. Bob Barker, the television showman, is making millions of dollars every year off of incarceration. How is he making money? he's facilitating tissue paper, writing paper, pencils, soap, hygienic products, millions of dollars just off of products being sold. A pack of oodles and noodles on the street is 13 cents, 11 cents. A pack of oodles and noodles in the Cook County Correctional Facility, $1.65, $1.25, depending. Some places it's $2. They're making twice as much money. Your people have to pay more money for something that they only pay 13 cents for in the city, on the street, coming out of Jewels, Dominic's, all of these. So at the end of the day, it's about the dollar.
You know,
but
you know what's
going to contribute. No, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I see what you said. You about to give an answer to it. I know you about to say you about to contribute. Go ahead, man. I'm gonna come right behind that.
Are you going to keep helping Bob Barker to maintain not just the riches of his family, of his immediate family, but his kids' kids? Are you going to keep making that family rich? Now, don't get me wrong. I understand. Hey, you got to go out here and you got to provide for your family. You got to do it the best way you can by any means necessary. You got to go out here and do it. And, hey, you got to go out here and do it. I understand that. When your kid's stomach is touching their back, hey, I understand. You have to provide. I truly do understand that. But at the end of all of this, at the very end of all of this, are you here to serve the system, or is the system here to serve you? And how do you get out of that position? Are you going to remain a slave? Are you going to remain a slave?
Hey, man. Look, man, let me ask you this question here, man. It's crazy because you're looking at the fact of how can you even ask a person that's already in slavery that kind of question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Harriet Tubman said, I saved half, I only got more now, but some of them didn't even know that they were slaves. So, and almost like, if a person, how can you preach something that's in the Bible to a person that don't know the Bible? So, not saying that they don't want to know, but they gotta want to know what it's about. Dude, I'm just not learning, man. With that there, dude, you know what the ACA is? That's the American Correctional Association. Don't you know these people have been around for more than 143 years? You know what they provide?
Repeat that one more time. They've been around. What? The American Correctional...
Celebrating for more than 143 years. Global election. Global excellence, not just one city. Global means the world. And what they
now
decided,
did you?
Go ahead.
Now, did you know that just because you were sentenced does not mean that you're going to be incarcerated here in the United States? There have been people who have been incarcerated and they spend majority of their sentences on planes, flying from one country to another. They are not incarcerated here. I know a man to this day, and he said he cannot stand planes because he would not testify on somebody else. They flew him from country to country. He spent majority of his incarceration on a plane. He was not locked up here in the United States. The United States has federal penitentiaries throughout the world. You think you just here? Nope. Throughout the world. That means no hugging your loved ones, no seeing of your child, so on and so forth. The system has been put in place. How do you change the system from within the system?
You can't, man. You can if you go to your legislature or your congressman, and you try to, you know, you pass them that you're aware of it. But, dude, if I woke up today and just found out that they've been the American Correctional Association, ACA, and y'all can look up this, man. Research this, y'all people. Google that. Bing it. American Correctional Association. And just look at what they provide, man. These people are studied. They said they standard and accreditation. You know what I'm saying? They provide the taser guns, the strap the chairs down, you know, stuff that you need to use, handcuffs for the, you know, for the people to try to detain them a lot faster, a lot easier, and a lot better. And what it is they win it, like you said, with Bob Barker and all of them. Bob Barker probably have his own people that goes in, and they go to these, you know, they go to these conventions like, you know, Chicago, like the McCormick place, and they had these liquidation conventions, and, you know, they'd be selling TVs and, you know, clothes and all those things of that nature. But these people sell things like electric chairs, taser guns, handcuffs. Some people was out there giving away the Quran, you know what I'm saying, Bibles, you know what I'm saying, these things of them natures. Then nobody want to grab a Quran or a Bible, but they'll stop at the table and look at a taser gun. You know, and when they get that bid, they prey on us, African-American people, man, one. That's one now, because we make up 90%, almost 90% of the population that's already incarcerated. Now, if you look at that, you know how much money that they getting, that they making? I don't even think millions are even in this case a year. I think it's more every 3 months probably, because they get this grant money and they take this money and they put it back in. They only do a cut so much that they're going to provide the food and the services. So it's like almost that these institutions, jails, are a whole nother business. You see what I'm saying? Like, this is something that you investing in. It's almost like residual income. As long as they winning, you're going to get paid. As long as they going to jail, and I'm on the other business side of the attitude of the aspect of this, of that side, I'm going to get paid. So why not have your son or your daughter go to jail? I'm going to make money off of them. So you think I'm going to sit up here and try to figure out what I need to do to stop slavery if I'm making money off of you? No, they're not going to do it. They're going to tell you this. Let me give you a public defender. Or they're going to say this. Now this
public
judge,
pretender.
Man, thank you.
Public pretender. Not
I'm on your side.
Pretender.
And what do they do? I'm on your side, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, man. It's a whole, you cracked a whole jar open, man. We're trying to figure this out. And it all started from the 13th Amendment. It didn't just start from the 13th Amendment. They still was doing it. They just figured out a way to incorporate the 13th Amendment. You know, when they said, whereas you're not a slave unless you get convicted and you go to jail. Now, when you get out of jail and your stuff get expunged, you're still a slave because you can't get a job. Don't you know, man, now now the Caucasians, even though they made the percentage of the crack cocaine, now the methamphetamine, right? Don't you know, mm-hmm. dude, you get caught with methamphetamine once or twice, the third time you get caught, you're doing 3 life sentences. I mean, you're going to jail for life. This is how they get you now, where you're going to make money off of that person with the methamphetamine. Now, they are awarded to the 13th Amendment of the state now. Now, they are the populations of what's going on. Now, we're going to talk about methamphetamine now. Now, they say methamphetamine is the number one drug now that took over from the crack cocaine because now it's a lot cheaper than crack cocaine. All right, and what it does, what is that D word that it does for your, for the body?
Dopamine.
Say that one more time.
Dopamine. Your body produces a thing called dopamine, which affects your sexual in men, your sexual stimulant, where it creates a sex drive in your brain. It's dopamine is in your brain. And this is what gets you excited from the visual cortex all the way to your brain, which produces dopamine, which gets your heart pumping and flowing, and you know, and you're able to produce where you're able to be excited. Well, what happens in with this drug, especially heroin, is it creates that excitement. So what happens is it creates so much excitement. You already have the excitement that's already there. So after so long, your body stops producing the dopamine, where now you no longer have a sex drive because you've taken another supplement in the place of it. So you no longer have a sex drive. You no longer can get excited for men and women.
Absolutely. And with the methamphetamine, it tricks the dopamine to push it out 100 times more.
Mm-hmm.
So when it pushes it out 100 times more, it's tricking your brain. And when it comes out like that, the dopamine, like you said, it automatically shuts down. When it shuts down, it don't matter how much meth you use, still it never find that high again because you're going to keep looking for it. You keep looking for it, but your body had already automatically broke down and shut down its system. So now this is when you get the holes in your face, you get the meth mouth because the saliva is not being produced enough in your mouth. And, you know, saying your body can't fight off the bacteria because now that's when you start looking different. You're looking old and, you know, saying your bones start to decay. You're sinking in. It's like you're dying. You're alive. You're a walking dead now just to get this meth. And the way that it's being mixed, man, they use battery, lithium, acid. Man, they use whatever they can to get the stuff, the drug that they use, like for sinuses. Like I use that drug, fetrosutamine, I want to say it is.
Mm-hmm.
They have that in that drug, and that's what they use because what it does is it dries up your sinuses and it gives you a booster high. So when you mix in all these chemicals to extract that and put that in that meth and whatever they use, this farming, the farming growth, whatever that is, they use some farming stuff. And they mix it in with that. That's what makes it turn white because it's pulling the compound. And now you got this drug produced. They wouldn't show everything. I don't want to know everything anyway because I don't want nobody trying to come at me because I got sinuses like a mug. But anyway, but this is what they use. This is what they use, man, to do this. Now, guess what now? Guess what? Now you don't – they don't figure it away now. So whereas you're thinking that, okay, looking at it as a fact of that this 13th Amendment is just really for the slavery of African-American people, well, guess what now? You got white people on this meth now. You got Latinos on this meth now. Don't you know they tripled the value of the jail cell now, they making even more money now. They just did it because of the hate for the black people. They did it for the hate because of the Chinese people. They did it for the hate of because of the Hispanic people. Now they saying this, now we're going to go into opium, right? Opium. Now this is another thing, part of the 13th Amendment. Don't you know, in back in the days, I'm going to say some years, you know, the early 30s to 60s or whatever I want to say, opium was real big with the Chinese community, right, in L.A. So they was making a living off of this stuff, man. They was buying, you know, selling to the doctors. The doctors was going in and using it, you know, said for people that had headaches, that were stressed out, and they needed to use this drug, you know, to kind of balance them out. Now they figured out, Caucasian people figured out how they could smoke the opium now. They showed them how to smoke it. Now they got three times the high. Now they got addicted. Okay, opium was in Mississippi. They trying to figure out why was it in Mississippi, and it's not illegal in Mississippi, but it's illegal in L.A. Oh, because it's the working people in L.A. This is where the celebrities at. This is where the stars at. This is where the, you know, the NBA players. This is where the, you know, the movie stars. Everybody at, white collar people. This is where they at. So they trying to crack down on this stuff. And now guess what? They figured out a way how to not only make money off the opium, but they figured out how to put the Chinese people in jail. See, now you're being segregated by the drug. They know opium. Then don't get me wrong. Now they got something called it's from Bangkok. I want to say it's another name for meth. I can't think of, but it means danger. I think it's called bong. Something like that. It'll come back to me, but that's another word for meth. Now, I'm not finished. Can I go a little bit more, Charles?
Yeah, most definitely.
Got you.
Most
now
definitely.
Look.
Now,
I want to go into the. We did cocaine. We did crack. We did heroin. We did opium. Right. What's the next drug? Marijuana. They figured out how to lock up the Mexican people, man. The Hispanics, because marijuana now they at first marijuana when they had the little, you know, the little chemical in it or whatever that makes you hallucinate. With marijuana, the marijuana they was coming over here with that, right? They figured out how to arrest the Mexicans because there's a drug cartel and all that stuff or whatever. Now they said that marijuana is what. The deadliest drug at that time, marijuana was the deadliest drug. A 16-year-old came in and killed his mama because he was on marijuana. Now, guess what? I just segregated you on for the Hispanics now. See, it's not about the drug no more. It's about who can I lock up. Where marijuana? Go ahead.
Well,
this is the last thing I want to. This is the last thing I want to impose.
Okay.
Now. We know the heritage behind it, right? We know, and now when I say the heritage, right, I can say, okay, yeah, man, when I was shorty, man, yeah, I sold drugs, I did this, I did this. But a lot of people don't know where it came from, who brought it over here. We can only assume where it came from. We need to know where it came from, who brought it here, why was it here, when did it start. Nobody can ever tell you that. You know why? Because it's past. You know, whoever it is, man, it comes with the government. It's federal. This, what you think when they get caught up, when the drugs get confiscated, what you think is getting distributed to? You think they're gonna send it back? You think they're gonna burn it? Or you think they're gonna keep it for evidence? What you think? How you think they need bait? So you can always be a part of the system, no matter how you look at it. Part of the 13th Amendment. Confidential informant. It's part of the 13th Amendment. But go ahead, bro. I'm listening to you.
The greatest way to not destroy but cut a people down to size is their ability to reproduce. So incarceration has so many different, as they say, side effects to it, affecting their ability to reproduce. I, as a man, love women. But I know if you're around enough men for the rest of your life, if you're around a man for 30 years, you don't have any type of female besides maybe a god or two to look at. A man is going to look sexy to you. Then you got the feminine men that's in there. So incarceration creates homosexuality. So what does that do? It has a double whammy effect on your people, because not only are you in there, you turn to be a homosexual. When you get back to the world, you want to pretend and try to prove to the world that I don't mess with men. But the undertone of it is that you do. So you start messing with little boys. You start messing around with the older men. But you still have a fondness for women, because you know that's where you're supposed to be with, is a woman. So now you turn around and you get excited over a woman. Now you're sleeping with both sexes, not just one, but both. Catch a disease, and now you done gave it to the woman, who passes it on to another man, who then passes it on to another woman. Now, you've created another problem. No man wants to really admit that he's gay, unless you're really gay. I mean, come on now. What man do you know? It's just, you know.
Unless you know it was one thing, man, that D.L. Hughley, man, that I wanted to go personal with. He said, man, if it came down to it, he said he'd rather work a job, because you can't go to church no more because of what's going on in churches. And then you can't get locked up because of what's going on and getting locked up, so you really just working going straight and narrow. He said there's one kid that said, man, he was raped from the age of 13 all the way to 26. And so he said, 13 to 26. He said, okay, if you're 26 years old, that means you got a boyfriend. Okay, how you look at it. But I'm just saying, you know, to that.
Hey, listen, there's no way in the world that he ain't got no boyfriend. He got a boyfriend. There's no way in the world you can sit up here and tell me that he, you know, I just love women. No, dude, you love men. You just can't deal with the other side of the criticism of you liking men. I was in Will County, and I was talking to some gentlemen in Will County, and the guys was telling me about how I was in the penitentiary. And, you know, it kind of plays on you, because it's like, well, how do you keep coming back to the same type of environment? You keep getting locked up. They tell me they would hear men moaning 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. They moaning like women. That has to play something in your psyche. I don't care how you look at it. That has to play something in your psyche. The transition from hearing a woman moan to hearing a man moan.
Wow.
And now you're released back into society. You ain't been corrected. You ain't in a rehabilitation center. You've just been released back into society. You're institutionalized. You're now more messed up coming out than when you went in. And if you had any type of mental hang-ups before you went in, you triple times now.
How could you help people in their nature? What is it that you can do to give that person that kind of that's in that mindset if that person won't open up his mouth and ask for the help, or if they still living up under that undercover act? So you still part of that 13th Amendment, if you really think about it.
You still part of it, brother. And you have the sheep amongst the wolves. You have the sheep amongst the wolves, which the wolves now are going after the sheep, trying to turn the sheep into wolves. Because that young man who he subsequently seen get raped in the penitentiary, when he gets to the world, he may not rape that little boy, but he may find a reason to manipulate him. So, subsequently, it is another form of rape.
So it's mental.
It's mental. This is mental now. This is not even just physical. This is mental. So the system that we live in right now, when you talk about the penal system, the system is set up to destroy a nation of people. One of the most powerful nationalities on the face of is the black man, without a doubt. Now, I could take you in another side of this whole conversation, but that's for a whole other topic of how did the white man become the white man? Because we're going to talk about it. How did the white man become the white man? How did we get all these different nationalities? And how did he become so dominant throughout the world that he is so dominant? He dominates through inferiority.
Uh-oh.
He dominates through inferiority because he is an inferior race. But he dominates because he knows one thing, how to divide and conquer.
Dude, I'm gonna tell you like this, man. Coming up with all these with the drug dealers, man. We just wrote down the drug dealers, and we wrote down the gay community a little bit too, right? Now, now if you could say something, man, to encourage people to get help, what would you tell them to seek for?
That's a very good question, brother. I'm just going to be honest with you. It is a very good question. What would I ask for? You know, in most narcotics or Alcoholic Anonymous classes, they tell you in order for you to start the process, you have to admit that you have a problem. And it's kind of hard to get someone to admit that they have a problem, especially when they think the problem is such a norm. I remember one time my father told me we was working together, and we got the little argument. We were working together on the project, and he said, you know, you have a mental problem. You know, you ought to go get yourself checked out. And, you know, 2 minutes had passed, and I started laughing. And he was like, what are you laughing at? I said, you know, that is the most asinine thing I've ever heard in my life. And he says, what? I said, you go tell me I got a mental problem and that I ought to go get myself checked out. The average crazy person don't think that they got a damn problem, so why are they going to ever go get themselves checked out?
Right.
This is the norm for them. You're a crazy person. They ain't crazy. You're crazy.
Absolutely. You know, but I was trying to say, man, if people did need some help, man, certain places that they could reach out to. But I'm gonna let you go and finish your story, and I could, you know, I'm gonna get some little tips and little information where they could go.
You know, the truth of the matter is they have to have a place outlet to go. Because this is happening every day. Every day. Every day there's a man being released from the penitentiary that is more messed up than when he went in. Mentally. I'm going to share this story, and then I want you to let the people know where they can go get help. Situation.
Okay.
There was a brother who was incarcerated.
Matter of fact, you know what, LB? Before you get a conversation, let me just do a couple of commercial breaks, and then you can go ahead and break it down, and we'll do that too.
Okay. What's up?
All right, cool. Let's do that, man. That way we get that way we can kind of, you know, get smooth out, get people getting enough chance to get them a glass of water, some bread, and some cookies or something.
Okay. That's what's up.
And if y'all do want to call in, man, the number is 347-838-9106. If y'all want to talk to Charles Baxter, y'all definitely can. If not, it's still cool. It's a special edition, and we having fun, man. That's what we do. Here we go. Let's go.
One-time home repairs, where we are rehabilitating America's one home at a time, specializing in remodeling, full kitchens, and bathrooms. Also, a 24-hour emergency handyman service for electrical and plumbing issues. No job is too small. We do it all. All it takes is one call. It's 773-698-5720. Ask for LB.
What's up? This is your boy, Dennis Live. I got a question for you people. Are you tired of paying all that money on the monthly bills? Well, check it out. Look no further. Log on to westernworld1.com. That's www.westernworld1.com. And click on the Save Money program. We have a lot of products that you can save on, like gas bills, light bills, cell phone bills, security alarm systems, name brand satellite services. Then you got your global phones. I mean, we just got the whole deal, people, that you can just really save on. Log on, westernworld1.com. Or you can go to the Google Play Store and key search Western World 1. Space it out, Western, space, world, space, 1. And download the app. It's a free mobile app. Or you can go back to the website and get that, too. It's free. All this stuff I'm giving you guys are free. There's nothing to go look it up. www.westernworld1.com. Click on Save Money Program and check out the products. I promise you, you would be amazed by some of the services that we do provide, that we are affiliated with. Other than that, that's what I'm here to do. Let's go. Let's go.
Hey, yo, Ace, I'm having a hard time getting my mixtape heard. You know where I can go get my mixtape heard?
Yeah, bro, just go check out Western World 1. You got to have your bars ready, got to have it clean. Make sure it don't be whack. It got to be entertaining, bro. Go to westernworld1.com. That's WESTONWORLDONE.com.
Yeah, that's right. Get your mixtape heard each and every Friday here. westernworld1.com. That's www.WESTONWORLDONE.com. Get that mixtape. Get it to us. Check it out. That's how we do it. Each and every Friday.
Each and every Friday.
7:30 p.m.
Central Time.
Let's go. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
The Western World 1 Network has never been easier to connect with Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and WesternWorld1.com. Until now, by using our mobile app, just log on to www.WesternWorld1.com and click yes to the mobile app. That's it. That's all. One button does it all. WesternWorld1.com.
Charles, you back?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead, man. You can tell your story now, man. We listening now, man. Then we gonna go in and go over a little recap, and then we gonna conclude, and I'm gonna tell people how they get their help.
Brother told me he went he's from here, from Chicago, but he got locked up in Atlanta. In Atlanta, you know, it's totally different. You know, they correctional facilities totally different from here. And I would think that a person would turn around and, you know, be a lot more helpful. But what happened was he walks in, and when he walks in, there was a Snicker bar on his pillow. His I don't want to call him roommate, but a cellmate was in there with him. So he said, "Man, I know you've been through processing a long time, a lot of hours, wow, fam, yada, yada, yada." He say, "Here's something, you know, ease a little hunger, you know, so you'll be straight." He said, "Oh, okay, cool, that's what's up, you know." He say, he turned around and he ate the Snicker bar, you know, he started eating it and turned around and told him, he say, "Now, you know, I want the same Snicker bar back now." And that's how he left it. "I want that same Snicker bar back." He got to pondering. He said, "Shit, okay, not a problem, you know. I get it for you." He thinking when commissary come, "I'm going to order some, or put some on the order, and I'm going to order another Snicker bar, and I'm going to give you a Snicker bar back because you helped me, you know. Boom, I'm going to give it back to you, you know." But something didn't say right when he said it. He said, "I want that same Snicker bar back." So he went and asked one of the guys, you know, he said, "Man, I'm bunking over here with Walter Bab, and he gonna tell me he want that same Snicker bar back. What does he mean by that?" They said, "Well, who are you bunking with?" "Shorty Doo-Wop over there." They all said, "Oh." They turn around. Dude say, "Well, man, dude trying to fuck you tonight." What? It has to be something seriously wrong for you to have this mental state of mind where you come in and you see people coming in to do a bid and you playing on their ability to perform with you.
there has to be something seriously wrong in your mind to think about sleeping with another man who is a man like you. Now, if you're homosexual, if you like men, that's cool. Do you? I'm not trying to down you. But for you not to be that way, and now all of a sudden, because you're institutionalized, you become this way. So now you subject the same type of demons on other people. That is one thing that is not being talked about. A young man who's been locked up ever since he's 14, he's 36 years old, he's trying to get out of the penitentiary. He doesn't even know what being with a woman is like. Do you have any programs set in place? Because all he knows is men. He doesn't know what women are. He's seen them on television. He's read about them. But that process of coexisting with a woman, and if you think I'm lying, watch that movie American Me. It was a powerful depiction of that he had been locked up so long. When he did finally get with a woman, he did not even know how to respond to be with that woman. He wind up turning her over and hitting her from behind, because he did not know how to make love to a woman. All he knew was how to be with a man. Once again, I tell you people, the best way to take away a people's ability to reproduce, the drug trade, incarceration, has a way of taking away a group of people's ability to reproduce. It's tearing apart the black family. The mother is out here fending for herself. The kids fend for themselves. Which in turn creates a catastrophic It's not balanced. The playing field is not balanced at all. Please understand, the playing field is not balanced. I'm only giving you the information. If you know how to lead in your neighborhoods, please lead. If there's any problems, please stop going to the police with the problems. I'm not saying don't snitch. Where to the degree where someone is just wreaking havoc. But we as black men need to police our own neighborhoods. We need to stop relying on white people to police our problems. If you think I'm lying, read about the Black Panthers. Bobby Steele. Fred Hampton, Stokely Carmichael. Read about these people who tried to create a movement where everything is funded by blacks. You cannot go to that man and ask him to help you, because he is not there to help you. You have to help yourself. God help those who help themselves. We have to be a nation to help ourselves. Seek help when you get out of that penitentiary. If a man comes from war and has to seek help from coming from war, you have to seek help coming out of that penitentiary because you just came from war. You came from a whole totally different mindset of war than the average person will ever deal with in their lifetime. You have seen sodomy. You have seen death. Why do you think the brothers who was coming back from Vietnam high? Why they was hooked on heroin? Because they were coming from war. They were fighting a battle that they had never dealt with and experienced a day in their life. Why do you think when we go to fight Afghanistan, Afghanistan is able to sustain and beat America? They beat Russia for 10 years. We've been over there for more than 10 years, and they're still whooping our ass. Why? Because our people are not trained for that type of conditions. Their people are born in those type of conditions. They hear gunshots going off every day, bombs going off every day. That's the everyday norm for them. That's not the everyday norm for us. So we need help. They hear a man get raped. That's not the everyday norm that you're used to. To hear a man, a grown man, moaning and groaning, that's not the everyday norm. See a grown man dressed up like a woman, that's not an everyday norm. Black men, seek help. Please.
Wow. You know what, man, that was real powerful, man. You know, for a lot of people, man, they need help, man. They got the free addiction hotline, man, where you go to www.freeaddiction, that's A-D-D-I-C-T-I-O-N, helpline, helpline.com, all one word. I mean, even having a sexual addiction, where you can go to, it's about recovery.com. It's all one word, AbouterecoVery.com. The /addictions - treatment. But when you go to the website, you will see it there. And for those men that don't have phones, I mean, where they have phones but don't have the internet, you can dial a number, 24-hour hotline, man. It's 801-766-2233. I want you to have somebody Google these type of things, man, and or Bing it, man, and, you know, to get that help. You know, even like when you were saying, Charles, about the fact of how the story is of a man saying, yeah, man, you can have that candy bar, but I want it right back. You know, this is the mind frame that's been kicked off in the system. When you're in the system, the first thing that people think about is, man, dog, you're going to get raped. This is what's going to happen to you when you do this. So when you already thinking it before you go in, you know, it's almost like if this happened to you, you already, it's like you zapped. You went for it. You know, you got tagged. You've been plagued. You know what I'm saying? These natures or whatnot. And it's so comical inside the, you know, inside these cells behind them brick walls and jail bars that, and I'm not saying comical in a funny manner, I'm just saying like this is like the usual, this is the normal for these people, this is how they think, this is their mentality, looking like I'm not never getting out, so I can do whatever it is. A lot of people ain't trying to get right with God. So even though when they get out, you know, they can't get right with God, but you exposed to all this stuff now. Now you feel like you're living beyond your lifestyle now. You already got your manhood taken away from you. Now you feel like you do whatever it is. But you can go to these places, man, and get that help, man. You know, the sexual addiction, man, like I was telling you, adult addiction treatment, 24-hour alcohol addiction center help. You can go there, man. It's 24-hour addictionhelp.org. It's all one word, 24 HOURADDICTIONHELP.org/adult-treatment. And they'll help you, man, with all these things. They'll send somebody to get you help. But, like, the first thing you got to do is, man, you have to open your mouth and say something. You got to say something. You know what I mean? Like, how do you know if you were, if you had this addiction, like you said, with your father? Your father said that you're crazy. You know, how can I know I'm crazy, or how can I seek help when I don't feel like I need help? Well, somebody got to take that initiative for you to get that help. And what I want to do with LB, man, I'm just kind of going to a little recap of what we were talking about with the 13th Amendment. I want to play the clips again so that way the people can kind of understand what we were talking about. Because we had went into, man, we went from the 13th Amendment of how people are making, or how these institutions are making money off the 13th Amendment. This is what they're doing. It's, the drug is only to solidify what category you are in. Crack cocaine, they know that was in public housing. The regular cocaine, they know that that was corporate America, the blue-collar white America, so to speak. Then you got heroin and opium, that's with the Chinese people, you know where that's at. Then you got the methamphetamine. Now, you know, that's back with the Caucasian community now and whoever else is up on that drug because it's cheaper than cocaine now, the crack rock, rather. You get it cheaper that way, and it messes with your dopamine as well as the heroin. And so now you got this going. And then this also goes back to the 13th Amendment, marijuana. With the you'd have thought ganja came from Africa, Mother Earth, which it does, but they got it now, whereas marijuana really originated in Mexico. That's what they're trying to say. So we don't know. It is what it is. It grows there, and it grows there too. You know what I mean? So I'm going to play these two clips again about the 13th Amendment so people can understand what it is. And what it's about, and I'm going to also play the other clip, too, about how they try to, the limitations of the 13th Amendment, meaning that it abolished slavery to a certain degree, you know. So without further ado, man, I'm going to go ahead and play the 13th Amendment first, and then I'm going to play that.
Section 1. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Section 2. Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation.
The assumption of African Americans who saw this amendment was that this was the amendment that gave them equality, a road to citizenship, a road to equal suffrage, a road basically to a country where there would be no distinctions by color. Now, that said, because of the wording of the amendment, it did have limits. It was declarative only, didn't really give any rights because it doesn't give any explicit rights. So it leaves as an open question what rights are attached to freedom. Also, one other example of a limitation is it possesses a clause that says there is an exception to this business of slavery not existing anymore. And the exception is, but for crimes whereby those who have been accused have been convicted. So that if you've been accused of a crime and convicted, you could have your freedom abridged or taken away. You could be treated as an involuntary servant. And that's what ends up happening in the late 1800s and early 1900s, well into the 20th century. Criminals are sometimes imprisoned. Their labor is treated as slave labor. They are leased out, sometimes in large groups, to private contractors or farms. They are even sometimes put in chains. And for the most part, these prisoners I'm talking about are African American. The most common crime would be non-payment of debts. And of course, many of these former slaves are in debt. And if they can't pay the debt, then they become criminals. Then they find themselves in chains in these places. And it looks an awful lot like slavery. And so you can understand the confusion and ultimately the great resentment that the very measure which a generation of African Americans assumed was their ticket to absolute equality and the end of these sorts of things could also be used to preserve a kind of slavery in this country?
There you have it, man. There you have it, people. What we're going to do is we're going to take another break. We're going to come right back, man, and we're going to do our little conclusion and everything. If you want to call in, 347-838-9106. Again, the phone number is 347-838-9106.
What's up? This your boy, Dennis Live. I got a question for you people. Are you tired of paying all that money on the monthly bills? Well, check it out. Look no further. Log on to westernworld1.com. That's www.westernworld.com. And click on the Save Money program. We have a lot of products that you can save on, like gas bills, light bills, cell phone bills, security alarm systems, name brand satellite services. Then you got your global phone. I mean, we just got the whole deal, people, that you can just really save on. Log on, westernworld1.com. Or you can go to the Google Play Store and key search Western World 1. Space it out, Western, space, world, space, 1. And download the app. It's a free mobile app. Or you can go back to the website and get that, too. It's free. All this stuff I'm giving you guys are free. There's nothing to go look it up. www.westernworld1.com. Click on Save Money Program and check out the products. I promise you, you will be amazed by some of the services that we do provide, that we are affiliated with. Other than that, that's what I'm here to do. Let's go.
Hey, yo, Ace, I'm having a hard time getting my mixtape heard. You know where I can go get my mixtape heard?
Yeah, bro, just go check out Western World 1. You got to have your bars ready. You got to have it clean. Make sure it don't be whack. You got to be entertaining, bro. Go to westernworld1.com. That's westernworld1.com.
Yeah, that's right. Get your mixtape heard each and every Friday here. WesternWorld1.com is www.westernworld1.com. Get that mixtape. Get it to us. Check it out. That's how we do it. Each and every Friday. Each and every 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Let's go. Let's go.
One-time home repairs, where we are rehabilitating America's one home at a time, specializing in remodeling, full kitchens, and bathrooms. Also, a 24-hour emergency handyman service for electrical and plumbing issues. No job is too small. We do it all. All it takes is one call. It's 773-698-5720. Ask for LB.
The Western World 1 Network has never been easier to connect with Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and westernworld1.com. Until now, by using our mobile app, just log on to www.westernworld1.com and click yes to the mobile app. That's it. That's all. One button does it all. westernworld1.com.
All right, man, we back in the building. Charles Baxter in the building.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. So, man, dude, man, today, man, was a real, how to say, a humdinger. Man, dude, so much information, man, today that was in corporate, man, today. Special edition, man. For those that don't know, man, Charles Baxter, man, I mean, it's LB, but Charles Baxter had this expert, you know, he kind of divided the two, you know what I'm saying? Charles Baxter is the raw and uncut. You're going to get everything from the truth. The LB side of him is the comical side, you know what I'm saying? But you still get the truth from him, but, you know, you just get this split, you know what I'm saying, personality with him, man, in the same way that, he's going to give it to you the best of both worlds, man. I truly appreciate him, man. You know, we're doing this every Sunday, man, right here, 4:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. We call it the Special Edition with Charles Baxter, man. And, you know what I'm saying, he's always been a part of the home team, but he was always, you know what I'm saying, incorporated with my co-host and under my umbrella with me, man. And so now it's just time for him to shine out on his own, man, and so America can see what he does, man, what he do best. Not just America, man, the whole world. You know what I'm saying? We got listeners, man, in Bangkok. We got listeners in Brazil. We got listeners in Israel, Iran, you know what I'm saying? We got tall, and this is not to include that, you know, coming back home to Chicago and, you know what I'm saying, the state of Florida, you know, all this stuff. And we got a lot of listeners, man. And, you know, Charles Baxter, man, breaking it down for us, man. And I really appreciate that, man. You know, what else, man, do you want to share, man, for today, man? We don't broke down the drug game. We don't broke down the label of the drug game. Who is the label to? We don't broke down the 13% of what is the incarceration of our 13% of African American men. What do we make up in the population? And we made up for like 90% of the jail cell, and we are just a 13% of the population. That speaks volume, dude. So I mean, the other 87% of the population is what? Caucasians and other brown people. You know what I mean? Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. We can't just get 13% together. We can't even get 3% together. What makes you think we're going to try to conquer the world, Pinky? It's just not going to happen. You know, I don't care how you look at it. You know, we stay one day at a time. But, man. Go ahead.
You know, I have to say this. For them to divide us up as a culture, we have to be one of the most powerful races on this earth because of the constant bombardment from different sides. We're constantly being bombarded from different sides. We're bombarded financially. We're bombarded mentally. We're bombarded socially. We're bombarded spiritually. We're bombarded medically. And what I mean by medically, I'm talking about as far as diseases and so on and so forth. For you to be constantly hit from every direction and angle, and we make up such a small percentage, but we're the largest consumers here in the United States, it has to prove to you that we are powerful beyond our means. We're so powerful we don't even realize that we're powerful. One of the most powerful clips I have ever seen in a movie before was the ending of Four Color Girls by Tyler Perry. And in the scene, Janet Jackson was sitting on the bed with her husband, and she had merely asked him, "Are you sleeping with anyone else?" And he says, "How could you ever ask me anything like that, Joe? I haven't even touched or looked at another woman since I've been married to you." She responded, "What about another man?" He instantly got irate. He was like, "What do you mean? How in the fuck are you going to sit here and ask me, a man, a question like that? I'm a man." I'm not bending over for no other man. So her response was, "So what, you're doing the bending?" Now, I laughed when she said it, but it was the truth. He didn't consider himself gay, because he wasn't taking it. He didn't consider himself gay because he was giving it. There are many men that are coming out of the penitentiary system who are giving it. They may not be receiving it.
but they're giving it, and they don't consider themselves homosexual in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But I'm here to tell you, you are. And if you did not see yourself in that light before you went there in any shape, form, or fashion, and but now that you have left that facility, you are, you need to get help. You need to work yourself back into mainstream of normal. I have, like I said, I promise you, if you like other men and, you know, that's your thing, hey, that's your thing. I can't judge you for that. I can't judge you. That's what you like. Hey, you like it. Hey. But if that's not what really you like, but you find yourself liking something because of an environment that you have been forced into, get help. Because some of you brothers are giving our queens, our most powerful resources on the face of this earth, our queens, diseases that they can't even fathom.
Wow.
We have to take back our position of control of ourselves. We have to take back position of control of ourselves.
That's right.
I understand some of you brothers are selling drugs in order to support a habit, to, as far as supporting your family, so on and so forth. But when is enough enough? When are you going to go out here and get an education? When are you going to go out here and get a trade? When are you going to go out here and stop supporting other nationalities and making them rich? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for buying quality clothes. But when you got $3,000 worth of clothes on and you don't have $3,000 even in the bank account, I have something seriously wrong to say about that.
Your priorities are messed up, buddy.
You have $250 pants on, but you don't even have a bank account. You're still writing money orders. I have a problem with that. But you want to talk about what the white man is doing to you. White man ain't doing it to you all the time. Some of this, you got to take responsibility for yourself. White man is not messing you up all the time. They may have a big hand in it, but at some point in time, the system that has been placed upon you, you have to learn how to change the system within the system. That means the system, you still have to live in this system. Ain't none of y'all going to Africa. Y'all get that out your head. Oh, we go back to Mother Africa. All the fools you talk about, they're going back to Mother Africa. Trust me and believe me, if you get to Africa, you're going to want to come back to the United States.
They said that we so westernized that they won't even accept us, man.
Exactly. You're going to be ostracized in yourselves because you are so westernized. You wouldn't even know how to barter. In Africa, they have a bartering system. You wouldn't even know the beginning traits of how to barter if you went to Africa.
Well, so what do you say
so
to
used
these
to get,
people?
What do
I
say
to
these
say
people?
Yeah, I was
no,
going to say,
what
are you saying to these people is basically that when you say the system within the system, so basically, if the system really starts with you, you're the one that has to make this change in order to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
In order to stop it, right? Okay. Now, for the people that are incarcerated, you know, just getting out and they're starting, you know, trying to start their new life, what do you say to them? You know, say, because what's stopping them right now is probably a decent job to get them ahead so they won't go back no more. But they got to mark that, have you ever been committed of any crimes or have you ever been committed of a felon? If so, why? What do you say to that person that's been struggling every day to get a job and can't get one? You got about...
I have seen a Mexican come over here to the United States and not know a trade at all. We'll go around a different tradesmen and learn their trade. Learn a carpentry skill. Learn electrical skill. Learn some plumbing. Learn how to hang drywall. Take pride in what you're doing. That's another thing that is missing within our culture is pride. I'm not talking about pride in just another rap song. I'm not talking about pride in just dancing. Those are limited resources that are only given to only so many people. I'm saying take pride in doing some construction. Learn how to sell. Mexicans will stand on 87th and the Dan Ryan here in Chicago at the Home Depot and just say, hey, I know how to do this. Hire me. Pass out a car. It starts with you. You got to learn. If the man will not give you a job, you have to create your own job within the legal system. We have the thing called the internet. Go to a library. If you don't have a computer, go to a library. Go to one of your family members' houses that may have a computer, laptop or something. Research, read, and find out what it is that you can do in order to put you out there. You may not be making a boatload of money where you out here buying Gucci and Prada and Polo and everything like that, but you are able to provide. Earlier today, me and Dennis was talking. He asked me how much was my rent was, how much was this, that, and the other. You know, I'm still able to provide. I'm still able to provide because I don't live beyond my means. I don't jump out that window. I'm not trying to live for someone else. I'm living for myself and my daughter. Some things you just have to learn, and some things you learn even while you were incarcerated, how to take what little money you do have and make it stretch and work for you. Don't worry about what else somebody else is saying or how it looks to them. Just worry about how it looks to you. Are you eating every day? Sometimes you just have to open up your mouth, like Dennis said earlier, and just ask. A young man walked down the street last week and said, I said, how you doing? He said, man, I'm not doing good, brother. I'm just trying to get me something to eat. I reached in my pocket and I gave him $5. Here you go. Because he opened up his mouth, he was able to receive something from me. It wasn't a big, long, drawn-out story. It wasn't hey, I'm just trying to get something to eat. The next time I see that brother, I just may say, hey, do you want a job? It ain't paying a whole lot, but hey, it's going to be something for you. It's going to be something consistent. Versus nothing at all. You got to open up your mouth. You got to stop being worried about what somebody else thinks about you.
There it is.
Because at the end of the day, just as the same person is talking about you, they got shit going on in their lives that you can turn right around and say the same bullshit back to them. No one is susceptible to criticism. So don't be worried about what somebody else is going to say about you.
Did you just shoot him, dog?
Do you? Tyler Perry was homeless. Steve Harvey was homeless. Did it let them stop them from moving forward? I was homeless.
Absolutely not. Me too.
I was homeless.
Me too.
When I step out my door, not a soul on this planet could sit up and say, "Hey, I didn't know he was homeless." Yeah, I was homeless. I set pride to the side and say, "Hey, I need this. And if you give me this little bit right here, I can build this on my own." And I'd be damned if I let anybody come in and take what I got going on without a bill.
Well, Dilla, I mean, with Charles Baxter, man, we down to the final minute, man. Till we conclude, man, what we going to have for him next week?
Oh, brother.
Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it.
Brother, there's so much stuff we could talk about, brother, that's out here that is impactful and insightful, you know, that, but I want to talk about religion.
Look, that is, we done 30 seconds, we're going to talk about religion, and that's what we're going to do next week. We conclude, log on to westernworld1.com, westernworldone.com, or you can get right here on Blog Talk Radio, man, click on follow us, and we'll definitely hit you back. Charles Baxter, man, it was good to have you on the special edition, man. We're going to do this right back here next Sunday, man, 4:30 Central Standard Time. You with that, bro?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Anytime, man. We
God bless
y'all.
Everyone. And may you have a fruitful and prosperous week.
There it is. And we out on that note.